Hi, this is Dr. Altadonna, and I have Dr. Michael Nesnik on the line. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, Ben. How are you?
I'm well, well. Michael's this month's member of the month, and where do you practice, Mike?
In Woodstock, Georgia.
Okay, awesome. How far is that from Atlanta?
It's about 30 miles.
Okay. North?
Yeah, northwest.
Okay, northwest. And how long have you been with us now?
I've been with you about 2 years now.
Oh, a long time. So we have a lot to talk about. Well, can you tell me about your career up to that point, before becoming a PBA member? Just what you did, what you didn't do, what you did right, what mistakes you made. It's not really mistakes, but things you learned along the way?
Yeah, I mean, I graduated chiropractic college in December of 99,
mm-hmm.
And then I went on to get a master's in sports injury management,
uh-huh.
And I graduated that 2 years later. And then I worked for a couple other doctors in practice and kind of learned some things to do, some things to don't. Then I opened up my own practice probably 4.5, 5 years ago now.
Okay.
And when you open a practice, there's no guidebook. There's nothing to put you on the course of what you need to do and what you don't need to do. So you're kind of fumbling through. And that's basically what I did for years. You know, I just fumbled through, barely eked out a profit. Some months are better than others, but never really made it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I stumbled upon you guys, and that's probably been the best money I've ever spent. You know, I've spent money on other practice management things where they tell you that you have to have these big, high-grossing closes, and that's what will put you to the next level. But really, you know, it's kind of like being a used car salesman where you got to sell instead of giving the patient what they want. And then your whole mantra is give the patient what they want.
Yeah.
And most people, they want relief care. They want, what can you do for me right now? I got to get in, I got to get out, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did kind of on my own newsletters
Yes. That
I did sporadically. I didn't do them every month. And, you know, I would try and find content that was relevant to the time, but it's time-consuming. And I tried to do everything myself. I tried to do all the marketing, all the newsletters, patient welcome letters, all of that stuff by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up working like 2 to 3 jobs trying to do that. And then your whole, again, another thing that you say is that you have to delegate. And up until the point when I started you, I didn't delegate anything. And then I learned how to let go and how to let other things. And now, you know, I use West Press for the newsletters. So all we do is send them the list every month. They send everything out. I don't have to worry about it. Patients are happy. They'll come in based off of that, just out of the blue. So that's about you know, the whole gist of it is everything that you have is pretty much self-automated. I don't have to do too much to actually get things rolling.
Yeah. How many new patients do you average per month?
About 20 now.
Okay. How many referrals? How many are from other sources?
They're all pretty much referrals.
Oh, okay, good. And what are your office hours?
My office hours are right now Monday, you know, normal hours, 9 to 1, and then 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday and Friday are the same. And then Thursday mornings I'm open, and that's about it.
Oh, okay, cool. How much staff do you have?
Three people.
Three people, all full-time?
Yes.
Okay. So what are you actually implementing with PBA currently?
We're doing the newsletters. We are. The only thing that I haven't done is the white coat.
Wow. Wait, you should read that article, man. It's in the vault about white clinic jackets.
Yeah, I know. It's just I am such a hands-on person that I die of heat.
Yeah, you know, a lot of doctors say that, and those doctors that are like that, which I even convinced them to try to, you know, go get through it, but is to minimally just wear it during the consult and exam and report of findings and re-exams. So that way it visually puts them in a different space. It adds sanctity to those unique visits, separates it from the adjusting visits. So, you know, maybe we can get you to do that. I think you'll... because you're not going to be very manually, you know, physically, like, your body's just talking to them when you're doing an exam, pretty much, and it's not that physical, it's like adjusting. So maybe you should do that.
You know what? I'll try it.
Yeah, I know you'll go. And
you've set me on the correct course for everything else, so, you know.
Yeah, just wear it during when you first welcome the new patient and during re-exams, and it'll be good. It just shows respect, and they'll appreciate it. And it makes them act more like a patient. It's not casual, you know. It's not like a sales. They cannot connect. Most of them do not have any recollection of being in front of somebody in a white clinic jacket and being sold. But they subconsciously they can see a lot of especially blue collar patients. When they see somebody wearing a tie, there's a lot of blue collar patients, men, that don't even own a tie. You know, us as white collar doctors, we think every man has a tie. But there's some men, and a majority of them, I would say, associate a tie with somebody trying to sell them something. But when you wear a white clinic jacket over that tie and shirt, then you go from looking like an insurance salesman, car salesman, a salesperson, to a doctor. And it just makes them pay attention to what you're talking about. So, yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. You'll see a difference even in your practice that's already doing most of the stuff. So we're getting your emails, doing weekly health updates, blog postcards, newsletters, that sort of thing? Okay.
We're doing all of it. And actually, the email blast that you guys do, I mean, I have patients all the time go, oh, yeah, you know, I read your email blast. It was very interesting. And, you know, we'll actually have a conversation about it. So what we do here is I make sure that my whole staff reads the newsletters before we put them out for them to see, so that way when they come in, we know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, a lot of my members don't read the newsletters, and that's why we put a binder copies out in the reception room so patients know what you're seeing. New ones can read it, and it reminds the doctors and staff that they need to read them also. Plus, when you read it, it really reminds you of the quality of the information. Now, I know that the four-page newsletter is a little bit more conversational than the inserts, and it's designed to be that way because every patient's different. But the inserts are written by, Brainy Pants Dr. Yeomans, and he does a really good job. And it took him a while to even get more conversational because he's such a research scientist, science-based chiropractor, who's an awesome guy and a third-generation chiropractor. But he does our inserts for us. And then, of course, Dr. Roizen has his style as well. So there's three different styles of communication in each monthly newsletter written by three different people, and that's done intentionally so it doesn't have one vibe, you know, one personality on paper. So good. What plans, what are you doing next? What's in for your future? You just want to kind of, are you coasting and happy where you're at, which is obviously the goal, or you have some growth ahead of you?
Yeah, actually, we're looking at adding an associate to the practice pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
To handle the overflow, really.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
And then eventually we're working towards not opening on Fridays.
Yeah. Excellent.
I mean, I have three kids myself, so I think having a Friday, Saturday, Sunday off would be change my whole life completely.
Oh, it will. It will. Now, some doctors go, yeah, but Ben, it sounds like you work on Fridays. And I do work on Fridays. I don't work Monday through Thursday. I work Monday through Friday. But I don't have kids. And I really, really like what I do. As a matter of fact, if I'm not working most of the time, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. I have family to visit, and I do that on weekends. But I don't really have anything to do unless I don't play golf. I rather work, and I just, it's not work to me, you know, I enjoy it, and I work from my house most of the time, so it's just me and a computer, I listen to music, I enjoy it, so we work, and plus we have to serve our members, and our members are not patients, and our members, they order on Fridays, they get online and order, so our business is a little bit different. Will I work, take Fridays off someday? Maybe, you know, maybe, but until I want to, you know, but most chiropractors would want to have Fridays off, and when they do, it changes everything. It really does. And hopefully you and a lot of the others listening on this recording will go into the vault and listen to, read some of the books that I've read that I recommend. Watch some of the protection or confidence protection videos, just some fun motivational videos, and just start thinking about your life and living in balance, because sometimes it's not in just about making money. You need money to live, but it's definitely not everything. So anyway, I love where you're at. I used to do a lot of seminars in Atlanta. It's a great area. What's the population of your area?
My area, I think, is like 8,000.
Mm-hmm. And when you get an associate, is this doctor going to be like an independent contractor? You're going to pay him a salary to do some of the work for you?
Yeah, he's going to be a salaried employee.
Gotcha. Well, that should be fun. How are you going to find this doctor? Have you figured it out yet?
Now, hopefully, with your help, you could help me out and figure out the best way to go about that.
Yeah, well, what I would do is maybe create a website just for this opportunity with pictures of your practice, testimonials of patients, and do not index it. That way, the general population will not go to that. They can't find the website. It's impossible. And then you mail letters to either newly licensees in your state through the state board, and maybe even write letters to licensed chiropractors, because there might be chiros that are still struggling, that are willing to, that are working part-time, maybe not even working at all, even though they have an active license. Or they do have a practice, but they want to, they know they need help, they need some security of a paycheck a little bit, and they're willing to learn from somebody that's, you know, like a mentor. I would also have like a 3-year contract. I would definitely have a contract and use either an attorney in your state recommended by Keith Carlson, because he's part of a network of chiropractic attorneys that are highly experienced in creating these types of relationships with associates. So I would talk to Keith Carlson, ultimately get a contract, create a website that has pictures, and then it can link to your other website so they can see that you have a really great and strong system and infrastructure. So I'd have a website about the opportunity that links to your blog, link to Spine Health, talk about your practice, and then have them fill out, like maybe you can ask them questions online and it gets emailed to you the answers, or you can just have them email you directly and you'll set up a phone call. I would not discuss on the website, though, the particulars in terms of what they will do and what you'll pay. It's almost like a lead generation site. So the letter that goes to them gets into the website, and that gets them more excited, more enthused, and then have them call from the website versus a letter going right to a phone call to you or an email to you. You want to say as much as you can on the website so that pre-qualifies them. So those that aren't interested don't call you, but still don't go into the details of the deal, because that it's like trying to sell a car and talk price first, you know. And you don't want to be in a position where you're trying to sell the opportunity. I mean, you want to be to a point where they're selling you on them versus you try, you know, selling that, because it's our tendency to try to oversell. It's just in that nature as humans. When we want something, we end up selling what we want, and people just, it repels, it doesn't attract. So yeah, we can talk about it some more later. Well, that's awesome. So do you have any advice for newly licensed chiropractors? Because we do get them each month, and those are the ones that need the most help. The other members that are come on board with us that are seeing at least 50 visits a week, you know, they can benefit from our stuff right away. But sometimes the newer members, what would you say to them? I mean, I know what I talk to them about during our phone calls with them, but what would you say to a new chiropractor? If you just got out of school, what would you do in the next 5 minutes?
What I would tell them to do is go buy yourself an iPod, take everything out of the vault, put it on an iPod, and listen to it constantly.
Okay. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Good? Yeah, I got an iPod for each one of the people that work here and loaded everything on based off of what, you know, it did. Like the CA would have all of the padded tennis and stuff on it, and then some of Keith Carlson's and some of that specific to their job duties. So they can go home and listen to it. And then, you know, once a month we'd have a discussion about what's going on. Anytime that you sent the Monday morning fax, everybody in the office would read it, and then we'd put it in a binder. The same thing with the newsletters, the same thing with the daily emails. Every time we have something that comes from the content that you give us, I make sure everybody reads it and understands it. So that way, when a patient does come in, like in the past, we first started, we just printed the newsletter. I didn't even really read it. I edited it and then went. And then I'd have patients come in and start asking me things about it. I was like, oh, you know, I better start understanding, you know, what it is I'm sending out. Because at some point you're going to look foolish if you can't, you know, give a valid answer to a patient.
Correct.
But anybody that's new, we have such an apprehension to doing things that take us out of our comfort zone. Where we're so headstrong that we don't want to do anything else, we want to do it our way. And most of the time our way isn't the correct way. It's just the way that we think the world should be, not the way the world is.
Yeah.
So anybody that's on there, even somebody that's been with you 10 years, you know, sometimes we get stuck in our ways and we don't evolve. And then we wonder why we're not evolving. It's because we're stuck in our ways.
what would you say to a chiropractor saying that there's more to chiropractic than relief care, which there is, but what would you just say to that statement if they said that to you?
That, yes, there is more to chiropractic than relief care. Unfortunately, what gets them in the door is pain care, that they're going to come in only to get out of pain. They're not going to understand the chiropractic principles or a paradigm or anything like that right from the get-go. And they're not going to learn it in 3 visits either.
Right.
Over time, I've had a lot of patients that were very reluctant to come in, and people told them, don't go see a chiropractor, it'll do nothing. Then they got better. Then they start coming in for other reasons. Instead of, just their initial reason they came in, they'll come in for something else. Then they'll understand. And those patients have been loyal patients for a long, long, long time, but they didn't get there overnight.
No, they don't. And their motivation, even years down the road to come in, is going to be some type of symptom. It just is. It might be a symptom that makes us feel, we get gratification out of, like, oh, I just feel out of sorts, or some vague thing, like I'm just starting to get a cold, I thought I need to get adjusted, and that's great, but listen, the majority of patients aren't going to, that's not what, it's not, and no matter how much you educate them, it's just education. We're biased because we've invested so much in this business model, and it's just, they're not chiropractors. That doesn't mean you shouldn't educate your patients, but do it once that they trust you and they've gotten some results, and just be gentle about it, and be careful you don't go over the top with them, because if you're trying to educate, make them wrong or change their paradigm, then they still might not ever come back. It's almost like they're afraid that they think we're human like everybody else, but after 3 to 5 to 10 visits, they can see little servos underneath our skin with little wires, and we're this alien, like the sci-fi movie, turning into that type of chiro. So, it's natural for us to go there, but we just have to, try to resist it at every opportunity. Well, listen, I just want to thank you for being on the call, and I appreciate it. And thank you for supporting us and being a member for a couple of years so far, and I look forward to hopefully a long-term relationship. And, of course, if you have any questions, Michael, and if you want to start talking more about that associate, just give me a call or call Larry and we'll talk again.
Okay, Ben, I just want to thank you for everything you've done for my practice and my staff.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Okay,
really do. Have a great day. Take care.
Bye.